South African children are a full school year behind, or 75% of that, whereas they should not have been at that stage. It's as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And this is according to the latest statistics. Learners returned to schools on Monday after the country was put back on lockdown, level 3 regulations. Welcome on the line, the Christine Mohigana, the South African representative for UNICEF. Christine, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting UNICEF to join you for this program this morning.
How did our learners manage to fall so far behind a whole year? Is that what has happened across the globe? Is that an international trend?
Unfortunately, that's what it is, absolutely. The COVID-19 pandemic has been has had a devastating effect throughout the globe on learning for children, for young people. The fact that schools were closed, sometimes they would reopen, but only, you know, part of the children or the students could be in school for some grades. There would be days off for, you know, on specific days. All of that added together is resulting in this very, very depressing news about, you know, what happened to learning for children across the globe, but unfortunately also in South Africa.
Yes. Then in terms of dropouts, do we know how many children simply dropped out of school over the past 16 months?
Yes. Over the past 16 months alone, we estimate that some 400,000, if not 500,000 learners would have dropped out of school altogether. And this brings the total number of out-of-school children in South Africa up to 750,000.
Yes. Can the country afford to lose another learner, or even another hour of learning time, when you are forced to close schools when third waves of COVID-19 infection hit us, with prediction of a fourth and a fifth wave still on the way?
No, I think... and that's what we're doing in support of the Department of Basic Education and other partners in the education sector, is balancing this crucial need for safety, for health in the communities where the children are learning. But, you know, this imperative that children continue to learn, continue to benefit from the protective environment that schools offer, continue to be in touch with peers so that, you know, they learn the social skills that all of us learned in school and in interacting with our the children in our communities or even beyond our communities. So it's very important that we manage to balance these two very important things, and that children who have lived through this pandemic, you know, who were supposed to learn through this pandemic, don't lose even more.
Yes. The country was quick in switching to blended learning, including rotational classes and also access online radio and TV educational resources. But while remote learning has been a lifeline for some children, it was and is out of reach for the most vulnerable in our country.
Absolutely. It was a blessing that this is something that worked where it was possible, particularly, you know, in communities, families where there were resources, you know, to have devices, to have data, and also in the family skills necessary to navigate online resources to make sure that children, you know, keep focused on their learning. But in places where none of those resources were available, and unfortunately, schools were closed, or when they managed to open, it was not always the best quality of learning that was going on there, because this is also a situation that was, you know, predating COVID-19. The lower resourced schools schools are also those where the quality of learning, unfortunately, is also, you know, oftentimes not, you know, as high standard as we would want to. So for children in those communities, the impact has been even worse.
What are the impact on kids, you know, on a child who's out of school for weeks on end, and then also the long-term effects on later life, like in the job environment to university students, and then how do we turn the tide and ensure our learners from rich to the poorest start getting on top of the curriculum and start catching up on the lost time?
So what's being done here is remedial programs, catch-up programs for children. For students, luckily, this is something that's possible. You know, it's very unfortunate that there is loss or delays, but you know, if the programs are well targeted, the remedial programs, the catch-up programs are well targeted, and children are able to be back in school to benefit from them, both actually students, children, and the teachers. And we're hoping that, you know, the vaccination program for teachers will be completed so that this is a dimension that doesn't stand in the way of, you know, schools being open for safely for children to go back to learning. So yes, it's possible to catch up, to have remedial, you know, programs, interventions. But hopefully this is something that's not going to be repeated. So schools need to open and remain open, of course, safely, so that the need for these remedial and catch-up interventions are no longer necessary. But they are effective and they are in place.
Thank you very much for chatting to us this morning. Your time appreciated, Christine.
Thank you.